We've got this Jesus Is series that we're going all year long, but we're calling it to begin with Jesus Is for Everyone. He loves everybody, but not everybody loves Him. And Jesus isn't for everybody's agenda. Don't get that twisted. He isn't for like, you know what, I think you're so cute and I just want you to be happy. That's not how that works. But He is for everybody to have life, everybody to know Him, everybody to make Him known. And you don't have to know all the right prayers to pray. You don't have to know all the songs to sing. And you don't actually have to just go to church. You got to come to a spot where in your heart you realize, I'm not the king. I'm not the ruler. And there's only one. And His name is Jesus. He's for everybody who wants Him. And so today we start this series that will take us through Easter. And it's called Jesus is Countercultural. Does anybody know what countercultural means? Now, some of you could go ahead and just be smarties and go, yeah, counter to the culture. Okay, good. We'll put that on the table. That's a good answer. But what do you understand countercultural to mean? You took away my answer, bro. All right, what else? 180 degrees from what they expect. Goes against the norm. Poor Norm. My grandpa's name is Norm. I wonder how often he just... Everybody's against me. What else are you going to say? Not jumping on the bandwagon. Not jumping on the bandwagon. Whew. Is Jesus not jump on the bandwagon? Who's studied Jesus and just thought, he's different? Say it again. Politically incorrect. For sure. All right. So we had a banner a few years ago out on Highway 2 that said, keep Jesus weird. That stirred up some stuff in this community to the tune of somebody taking our banner. I'm like, think we got on a nerve there? We're not weird like watch your children. He's a weirdo weird. He's not like us. He's so different. He's countercultural. He goes against the norm. He goes against our social ways. Josh just read that His ways are different than ours. They're so much higher than ours. And for some of you, you could say amen and thank you, Jesus. And for some of you, you're like, I know, right? That's why He's so hard to understand. Well, let's not fight Him. We're going to talk today about blessings and curses. But I thought, man, maybe we should really help us to understand it a little bit different. So I'm going to ask you to consider these blessings and these curses as invitations and warnings. You're going to hear Jesus talk about blessed are or blessed are those who, and then you're going to woe to those who. And I don't know, how often do you use the word woe? I mean, some of you are horse people, so maybe, right? But I'm not talking about that kind of woe. I mean, like, woe is me. We probably don't say that. We might have a pity party, and we're having the woe is me attitude. But, I mean, we understand blessings are like good things, right? Things that are good, things that we enjoy, things that we like, things that we long for. And then woe is really the opposite. But I want to tell you that blessings are an invitation from King Jesus. And woes are a warning. Now, what He says is good, we should probably want that. And what He says is bad, we should probably avoid that. Here's a trippy thing, though. We flip that. So our culture says, what's bad? Yeah. Or what's a woe? What's a challenge? What's a warning to us? I want that. Anybody have children? Yeah. You use the words, don't do that, and what do they want? Yeah, but here's what I've come to find out. I've only got 11 children, so I'm no expert, but here's the thing. I've found that these children, I'm telling them not to do something because they already did it. I'm not saying don't touch this just before. I'm saying it also after. And Jesus is saying no and woe to things because He knows what's right. But man, we've got to come to a spot where He's our King. And so I want to tell you a little bit about King Jesus. He's in charge. And that's tough. We're like, nah, man, that's not what I want. I want to co-pilot with him. And one of my favorite rap groups of all time is also one of my favorite worship groups of all time, the Cross Movement. He says, all this co-pilot talk, you need to stop it. You ain't in a Benz, you in a rocket. And it's him that runs it. It's him that is the director. And so we're going to look at his teaching, how Jesus, King Jesus, initiates his kingdom teaching today. Like what it means to be in his kingdom and what he would have us to live like. He goes up on this mountain and he prays all night, and then he has his disciples up there. There's quite a few of them, and he picks out 12 of them, and they were a ragtag group of ragamuffins. People we wouldn't, like if we were picking a team, like last week we found out, it wouldn't be like him and him and her, you know. We would be like, where's the best of the best with honors? Where can I find those people? Where can I get the people that are the dream team? Well, Jesus actually knew, and he prayed all night, because again, 100% God, 100% man. Why didn't he just like save himself the night of prayer and just plug into the God version of himself? Although he's perfectly both of those all the time. Which, what? And why didn't he just pick them? He wanted to talk to God about it. He showed us that it's about God. And so we're going to look at this. We're going to look at him turning his original audience's ideas of what life is supposed to be like on its head. He turned it all upside down. He said, what you think is a blessing is actually a woe. And what you think is a woe is actually a blessing. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that they may have life, and no, excuse me, he did say that in John 10:10, but he's like, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Friends, we've actually flipped that. The thief is the devil, but we think that he wants us to have fun. And he does. But we equate fun with abundant life, blessed life, full life. And we equate saying no to ourselves as somebody coming to take from us. You're trying to take what's mine. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we've turned God into the thief. But the reality is, he hasn't come to steal anything. He's God. He's the king. He actually says, this is how it's supposed to go. And we're like, that's not how I would do it. You're not the king. You might be the king of your life, but that's not going well. And so King Jesus teaches. So let's go to Luke 6, and we're going to go 17 through 19 just to begin with. If you have Bibles, then sweet, open them up on your phone or open them up. Like if you physically have one, that's cool. If you don't have one, we got Bibles all over this room. We'd love for you to open them up and actually keep them. Read it and live it out. And if you're like, nah, man, I just want to read it on that cool screen or that cool screen, go ahead. Luke 6, 17 through 19. Now when Jesus came down, remember from the mountain where he picked his disciples, his apostles who would go and tell the message. And he stood on a level place. Some people would know that Jesus had what's called the Sermon on the Mount, his longest recorded sermon. It's Matthew 5 through 7. And some of you know that this is either supposedly the same message, but Luke gave it just a little snapshot, or Jesus preached a similar message in a similar place, but they call this one the message on the plain. Here's what I want to say about Jesus and his messages. He's 100% always. He brings it, and he brings similar messages. Any preacher is going to bring the same message. He's talking about his kingdom. So Matthew 5 through 7 is a longer version of all we're going to read today. But maybe he preached both these at the same time. Either way, this is his kingdom. And if you are here today and you're like, man, I need some help. Man, I need something different and some help is on its way. Look for it. If you're here because you're supposed to be here, not because you want to be here. Maybe today something different will happen for you. Now, if you're here just hungry, man, you're like, get to it, bro. Here we go. So he came down from them and he stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. So there's all kinds of people here. Those who love and follow Yahweh, those who are already loving and following Jesus, Yahweh is God. And then those who were Gentiles, people who didn't necessarily know God, but they're like, this Jesus dude's legit. Let's check him out. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. That's cool. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. Those who were demon-possessed. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. This Jesus is a good dude to have around. He heals people. Sweet. He casts demons out. Sweet. And he's got some pretty fresh words. Let's go. And this is what's happening. They came to see him and hear him. Maybe you did too. So let's go to what he said. Luke 6, 20 through 23. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. So friends, this is really, really important. Disciple, follower of, like Jesus. A few weeks ago, Zach preached about how a disciple is somebody who's like their teacher, walks in the same way. He's talking about how there is a rabbi, a teacher, a master in Israel who kind of walked with a limp. That made it look like it was a pimp limp, but I mean, he had something going on, right? He was not right in his walking. And all of his disciples who were much younger than him walked with the same limp. Follow Jesus. And these were, he was teaching those who came to follow him. Again, there was a lot of people there, and those who wanted to hear from him were about to. And so again, I'll just say before we finish up, what is it that you want to hear from God today? Are you here to hear from God today? It's been my prayer, it's been our prayer. We prayed this morning for all of us all over the world who would actually slow down to hear from Jesus, that we would. And so he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and I pray that you want to follow him. And he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man, on account of Jesus. You're blessed when people hate you, revile you, think your name is stupid because of Jesus. He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, or check this out, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. Jesus came to blow up comfort zones. But let's just look at it real quick. Being poor, being hungry, weeping, people not wanting you around, people mocking you, people thinking this Jesus thing's stupid and so are you for thinking it's good. He calls that blessed? What? What? Anybody struggle with a thing called hanger? Right? You get hangry is another way to say it. I struggle with hangers. They just make my clothes look weird. But I'm talking about being hungry and angry. So just even if you don't struggle with that, we don't think hunger is that big of a deal for goodness. We think it's a big deal for frustration. For I need to get some food and I need to get it quick. But Jesus says it's a blessing. So he's not just talking about happiness. He's talking about something so much deeper. And I want to be able to unpack it. And by way of doing that, I want to let you know that blessing isn't just happiness. It's joy. It's fulfillment. It's satisfaction. All in the Lord. Finding it in Jesus. Look, if you're hungry, if you're poor, if you're tired, if you're weary, if people don't accept you, they think you're just weird, you're off. You got to find fulfillment somewhere. If you're finding it in Jesus, all those things that you have, this hunger and all that, Jesus says, his kingdom is now. If you are poor, yours is the kingdom. So, well, many people thought, all right, then I've got to be so poor, I can't afford an R. I'm going to be 30 cents short of a quarter. I'm not going to be able to make it. And then I'll be fulfilled. Well, you know what? It isn't that you have to have nothing. It's that nothing satisfies you like Jesus. Nothing. I got a little something for you to go back to Luke 4:18. Remember this? Remember what Jesus said about the kingdom? He unrolled the scroll and found it in Isaiah, the spot where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And then verse 19 says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Look, when you're not satisfied with the things of the world, you got room for something else. When you're sad, when you're grieving, you want something other than what you're going through. And for those who actually will go back just in their minds for a second and realize that Jesus said he didn't come for the righteous, but he came for sinners. You go back and hear that he said, look, I didn't come for people who have it all together. I came for people who realize they don't. Just like you don't call a doctor for the healthy, you call a doctor for the sick. When we recognize that, we start to understand that comfort zone isn't what it's about. Riches isn't what it's about. Having everything I need isn't what it's about. It's actually about the fact that I'm really needy. And not just have to have the temperature just so, and I just love brown M&Ms. And you know what? While we're at it, carbs may be bad for you, but they taste so good. So I need God to bless carbs. I mean, we just want this comfort zone, right? We want what we want. But when we're hurting, when we're aching, when we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and we follow him, and people think it's dumb, and they shun us, we want him all the more. That's his kingdom. It's like, you want to be blessed? You want good life? Here it is. Look, here's an encouragement. It's pretty impressive, and I'd love to just stop and talk about it, but I'm actually just going to read it to you. For those of you who just start to fade off when you hear somebody read, either it's my voice or it's just that finally this room is warm or whatever. I mean, you just come from a long week. Would you just get up, move around if you need to? But I'm going to read for you what it looks like to have this poverty of spirit, to not have everything that you want, but find all that you need in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll go 7 through 18. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. I do have to stop right there. We're like, what? We walk around recognizing that Jesus, the perfect God, died for our sin. And we share that good news that people will know there's life in him. This is that treasure, by the way, that's in jars of clay. We're the jars of clay. The treasure is Jesus. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak. Look, if you believe something, you're going to talk about it. I have a baseball player sitting in here, and we've been getting absolutely waxed. We've been getting thumped. But I believe we're better than that. And Cody, so I'll ask you in front of everybody, do I talk about how lame we are or how we have a chance and we just need to keep working and we can do it? Yeah, I actually believe it. I don't get paid more for good speeches. I actually believe it, so I speak. But more than that, I believe the good news of Jesus Christ, and so I speak. And he's saying, look, this is death to bring life. There's difficulties and pain and all that, but we're not crushed. We're not completely wiped out. So we're going to speak about God. We're going to actually live this out. And watch, it gets so much better, as if before wasn't. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it's all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. More and more grace to people, they're going to thank God and they're going to praise him. Verse 16. So we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You ready for a different way of looking at life? Jesus said, what we call blessing is actually a woe. And what we call woe, what we call painful, what we call avoidable, he calls that blessing. He calls it life. And so we'll go back to Luke 6. And we've heard a little bit, just a little bit. And I really want you guys to be able to chew on this on your own. I want you to discuss it. I want you to go to lunch. Well, I thought you said being hungry is good. We were going to skip food. All right, whatever, if that's an application for you. But what I'm saying is, it's not just about that. It's literally knowing that the painful things draw us to Jesus. Or we just try to numb them, right? Anybody try to numb them? Some of you are like, if I raise my hand, is he going to ask me how? No, I'm not. I'm not. We try to get away from pain and agony, and Jesus is saying, look, that's where you're going to find me. I came and I scorned that pain and that agony for the joy that was set before me. The joy of setting people free. The joy of doing what my Father called me to do. The joy of giving myself for others. We're like, yeah, that's good for Jesus and some really freaky missionary people and some people who just get out on the corner and preach gloom and doom. But for real people, we need to pay that rent. We need to have food. We need to have so much fun. We need to binge watch. We need to just check out. Listen to what he says about checking out. But woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. You got what you wanted, and that's all you're going to get. Heard a very wise man say one day that when we are in Christ, Christ followers, Christians, right? That this world, this life that we've lived here is the only hell we're ever going to know. But for those who don't know Jesus, who have ignored him, who have said, no, I don't want you. I'm fine. I've got what I want right here. This is the only heaven you're going to know. You're satisfied with the temporary. And all of us have to repent of that. All of us. You've received your consolation if you're rich. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry later. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did of the false prophets. Look, I wrote something down because I know the Lord gave it to me, and I give him full credit for it. Some other people said things similar to this. I just had it come together in my head like this. All these things, okay? Being rich, being well-fed, laughing, being well-regarded by people, they're not wrong. Jesus isn't saying they're wrong. He's saying being satisfied with them is wrong. That's all I need. Gosh, ask somebody who's getting ready to graduate what their plans are. Ask yourself why you ask them what their plans are. Hey, what are your plans? Are you getting ready to graduate? Well, I'm going to go to school, or I'm going to a job, and really I'm going to go to school so I can get a good job, so I can make money, and I can take care of my family, or I could just travel because I really want to do that. You ask a married couple, hey, what's your plan? Why are you getting married? Well, because we love each other and all that. That's great. And like, well, so how about kids? Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. Or some of them are like, yeah, we want two. I know that it's supposed to be 2.5, but woe to that 0.5 kid, right? And so we're just like, no, really what I want is I want the American dream. That's what I'm hoping for. And yet we all hit a bunch of bumps on the way. Jesus is saying, woe to you who get it all right now, because you're not going to need Jesus at all. You're not going to want him. The crazy thing about what he's saying is all of these invitations to life that we call, or that Jesus calls blessing, all of that shows that you're needy. But he's saying all the people who have all the stuff already, they're as needy, if not more. But we're like, no, man, here's what's up. I'm going to follow God, and he's going to give me my wish list. Boy, that preaching is super popular. It actually fills places with people. It's just like so good. Just speak it into existence. All you need to do is have faith, and your mama will get better, and you're going to get that truck. You won't need liposuction, because God will just boop, boop, and now you're hot. Or he'll give you enough money for liposuction, so whatever. Gosh, I mean, I think we laugh, not just because Aaron's funny, because sometimes I am, but more than that, we laugh because, darn it, there's some truth in that. We actually want the ease and the comfort of the good life. How good is it? How many people do you know that are just filthy rich? Yeah, I don't know too many either, but those that I do, very few of them are super generous. And very few of them sleep well at night. They're worried about their stuff. They're worried about somebody trying to get it. They're on their third trophy wife, and they're not totally sure if that's going to work out. But I know people that have been poor. They just don't have much. Although we live in a country that's the richest country ever in the history of the world. So our poor people are rich in almost the rest of the world. But that being said, this is our culture, and Jesus is countercultural, and so he's coming at us, and he's saying, look, you're blessed when you're hungry. You're blessed when you're poor. You're blessed when you're weeping, because yours is the kingdom. Now, look, if he was saying poverty and all that is the only good thing, and sickness and grief and all that is the only good thing, then why would he heal anybody? He's not saying that. He's saying, look, it's me that's the blessing. My kingdom, my rule, my reign. It's countercultural. Don't long for all the things that don't satisfy anybody. We know that money can't buy us happiness, but boy, we're willing to give it another shot. Again and again and again. So I want to bring you to a close today with a passage that's been really, really unsettling for me. And in that way, I will tell you, it's been a huge blessing. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 6. One verse that I don't have up on here because I wanted to read it to you just straight up is a verse that gets taken out of context. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. And we've heard in this world, money is what? The root of all evil. We've heard that. Money is the root of all evil. And some of us are like, I wouldn't mind a little evil coming my way, you know what I'm saying? But that's not what the verse says. It actually says, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. God, if you love me, I wouldn't be suffering. If you love me, I wouldn't have to pay the bills. If you love me, I wouldn't lose my house. If you love me, I wouldn't actually have to pay these medical bills that have caused me to lose my house. You are going to be fulfilled by Jesus. And his people ought to actually get off their blessed assurance and help you. But it's this love, it's this craving, it's this longing, it's this, you know what? I've been trying to rub together two pennies to get a nickel, and that don't work. So what am I going to do? Well, pursuing money is not going to actually bring you the hope and the joy that you thought it would. And so the passage that I have for you to tie all this together, it's 1 Timothy 6:17. It's for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. That means not to be all high and mighty and thinking they're better, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but set their hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They're to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So have you been calling what Jesus calls good bad? And have you been calling what Jesus calls bad good? You have an invitation and a warning before you today, an invitation to the kingdom of Jesus where it's upside down and different and it's hard. And so you might need to make some adjustments today. You might actually need to repent. You might need to ask him to open your eyes, to have you hunger and thirst, as it says in Matthew, for the right way. But for many of you, you've actually leaned in and you're like, yeah, God, your way is rad. It's hard, but it's good. And you need encouragement. Keep going. You believe, so speak. You follow, so let it shine. Where does your fulfillment come from? Where are you satisfied? Where are you most happy? Jesus? Or people? Jesus or stuff? We looked at different things today, and it was poor versus rich, hungry versus well-fed, weeping versus laughing, totally insulted versus totally accepted. Do you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for wanting the world and its stuff and people's adoration more than him? Then do it right now. Do you need to ask Jesus to make you stronger that you chose him because he chose you first and you're stoked about that? But man, I need to remember that avoidance of conflict isn't my goal, but true life is? Do you need to remember that you're blessed to be a blessing, not just so you can, I got a fat vacation coming. I preached this message and similar to it a while ago, and a friend of mine was here, and he doesn't come to church very much, and that was the last time he came to church. I saw him, and I coached with him, and he's in my life on a regular basis. And we have good conversations, but he felt like I was talking right at him because he was getting ready to get a fat new vehicle. And you made me feel ashamed for that. Don't give me that kind of credit. Maybe God was talking to you. Maybe he was saying, look, maybe not as fat, maybe not as expensive, maybe not as fulfilling as you thought it would be. And we've had those conversations. Still hasn't come. He's still kind of mad at me. And I still love him. And I love you. I'm not trying to tell you you're bad if you have stuff, or you're going on a cruise, or you're going on some vacation, or you've just got so much food that you throw 40% of it away. I'm just saying, if there's adjustments to be made, let God do that. But it's not while you are out. You got to choose. You get to clothe yourself with humility. You get to clothe yourself with this kingdom. He's not going to force you to wear it. So God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Jesus, for your countercultural message. I thank you that this truly is a come to Jesus message. Actually, all of them are, really. So I pray that we wouldn't want our kingdom more than yours. I pray that you would have your way in us today and always, that we would humble ourselves and that we would call what you call good and righteous and blessed. Good and righteous and blessed. And we would call what you call a woe, that we wouldn't long for the stuff that's so temporary, but we'd long for the unseen. We'd long for the eternal. And that's your kingdom, your rule, and your reign in our lives. We find that in Jesus, in your word and fellowship. God, have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.